ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's nearly the end of 2025. And judging by the huge response to our recent burnout episode, I'm guessing you're looking forward to downing tools if you're taking a break. But are you wondering how best to rest? Hello, I'm Lisa Leong for ABC Radio National's This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. Whether your holiday break is long or teeny tiny, there are ways you can optimise it so you can not only enjoy yourself, but also come back to work refreshed and ready in the new year. Let's find out how. Stacey Parker is Associate Professor in the School of Psychology at the University of Queensland. Recovery from work stress is one of her specialty areas of research. Welcome back, Stacey.
Hello, Lisa. Lovely to be here.
Please define recovery in the research sense.
We all know that work can be a bit taxing, can't it? Quite straining on our energy. And recovery is the process of unwinding, relaxing, detaching from work to restore that energy, to get yourself back to normal.
And we might assume lying around and relaxing is the best way to do this, but what does the academic literature say?
Oh, that more passive recovery does a little bit, but there's better ways to recover. And so we know it's important what you do. So physical activities, socializing, creative pursuits, these are all really great. But it's sort of actually more important what you experience during the recovery. And the most important is you get a chance to psychologically detach from work and relax, master something outside of work. You know, you're a full human, not just a worker bee. And so you feel like you're mastering something outside of work, and that's giving you purpose and meaning. And also, of course, relaxing and connecting with others. These are all really important recovery experiences that really help you recover, so you're not as emotionally exhausted from work.
You've piqued my interest with psychological detachment from work. What do we know about that?
Well, it's a process of having a break from the demands of work, not just physically being away from the workplace, but also mental disengagement or detachment. So not having thoughts of work, not checking work email, but having a genuine chance to detach and unwind.
So let's look at the critical elements to include in recovery over a holiday. What are some of the most important things?
The most important thing, I think, would be to be prepared before you go. So trying to wind down work and not have things sort of looming over you during that important time away. You know, switching that out of office on, trying to not check your email, maybe even uninstall the app from your phone. So you really give yourself the best chance to not have work interrupt that important downtime, and you give yourself the best chance to detach, but also get involved in some activities, you know, whether they be your own hobbies or, you know, sort of different other goals, connecting with others so that you can really immerse yourself in some interesting other things outside of work and have that chance to relax and master something outside of work and really fully detach.
It might be surprising to hear for some that we need goals, because usually we think of work and goals, not holiday and goals. So can you go deeper on that, please?
Oh, well, I think that it's something that needs to be thoughtful, isn't it, to have this more restorative recovery. It's something that takes a little bit of planning these days, because there's such a blurring of the boundaries between work and home.
All right. What can organisations and managers do to help employees enjoy their holiday and detach from work?
This is a very good question, because we all need to help each other with this, don't we? I think for leaders, it's really important to recognize that employees need this time of way. And so, one, respect the boundaries. Okay, so don't contact people during vacation time. That's their time to relax and recover. And two, we've found from the literature also, it's really helpful for employees if you're empathetic to their need for recovery. So not just respecting the boundaries, but sort of giving them that permission to have that time away.
What does the research show about how long the effect of a vacation lasts, and, you know, how long we feel that post-holiday glow?
Oh, this is a bit of a sad tale. some of the earlier literature suggested that the positive well-being benefit of a vacation fades out after 1 to 2 weeks, but more recent research suggests it might be more 3 to 4, but it's somewhere around there. We call that the vacation fade-out effect. So you can feel much better in terms of your burnout and well-being during the vacation and immediately post the vacation, but after the return to work, that slowly fades out and you end up sort of back where you started pre-vacation. You know, in terms of employee well-being, vacations aren't make or break. They're not the solution. They're good to do anyway. There's lots of great value and wonderful things that you can do on a vacation, you know, connecting with your family, making lovely memories, all that sort of stuff. But they're not necessarily the solution to burnout.
But they certainly help, don't they?
So they do. Yeah. And
please
and they're really
tell
good
me
to,
they help.
It's really good to have a break and have some downtime. And of course, we don't know what it would be like if we didn't have that little pause, you know, once or twice a year, however frequently you have your vacations.
Does it matter how long or short the holiday is?
No, the recent research suggests that if you have a longer vacation, you feel even better at the end of it, but then you have a steeper return to baseline.
Unfortunately,
the fade is quicker. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Just closing on these thoughts then, are there any other levers that we should be aware about, things we can do to either extend the holiday fade or maximise the benefit of going on holiday in terms of rest and recovery?
The most recent research suggests that that psychological detachment from work is key for having a really good vacation and getting the most out of it in terms of well-being. But also engaging in physical activities during the vacation is also very beneficial for well-being. And then when you get back to work, I think be kind to yourself and others, especially after this big break over Christmas and the holidays when most of us are going to take a pause and then come back. Just be kind to each other, respect the boundaries and be empathetic to people's need for recovery.
And we'll get more into what to do before you take your break in just a moment. Also, later in the episode in Try This, you're going to get some concrete tips from a high-performance coach with a background in sports science to help you recover on your holiday break. But first, let's get some more research insights on holiday activity. Ty Ferguson is a research fellow in the Alliance for Research in Exercise, Nutrition and Activity Research Centre at the University of South Australia. One of Ty's areas of research focuses on how we move our body at work compared to on holidays. Hello, Ty.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
Ty, you've done research on how we use our time during holidays. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I'm quite interested in, you know, how we use our time when it's related to free use and when it's not so free. So when we're at work, we're fairly time poor, and then when we get to go on vacation, we tend to be able to do the things we want to do. And that really shows up in the data from the study we did, where we followed people for about a year. We gave them activity trackers and followed every single minute of what they did. And we saw that people, irrespective of the vacation or how long they're away, they were more active, they got more sleep, and they were less sedentary.
Ty, with these subjects spending their time on holidays, doing more things like sleep and moving their bodies, how did that impact their health?
We know that the more active you are, the better your health outcomes are. So it reduces our risk for all sorts of diseases. With our sleep, those acute benefits of recovery and well-being, mental health. And we know that the less sedentary we are, the better it is for our health as well. So say you're going on vacation and you do have that free time to use how you like, it's really encouraging that people were more active and did catch up on sleep, even if they said they were going to be doing a restful relaxation holiday. They actually ended up being more active anyway.
And when you say more active, how much more are we talking and what type of activities?
Yeah, so I mean, we sort of looked at intensity of exercise, so not specifically what they did, but how hard they worked. So guidelines for how we should be active is about 150 minutes a week of moderate to vigorous activity. That sounds like quite a lot. And vacations, it was modest improvement. So across a week of vacation, it's 30 to 40 minutes of extra moderate to vigorous activity, which is quite impactful. And then if you're looking at sleep, it was about 20 minutes more a night. And then sedentary. People were about half hour less sedentary every day.
So what would you say is your biggest takeaway when it comes to how holidays can help us feel more recovered and refreshed when we return to work, Ty?
It's how people use their time that really makes the biggest benefits. So if we're out there sitting at a desk all day, 8 hours or more, and then commuting, we really don't have many opportunities to be active or, you know, engage in those things that we really enjoy, our leisure pursuits. And so going on vacation, it gives you those chances to engage in those behaviours you really enjoy, or pick up something that you haven't done for a while, whether it's going out for a long walk or a hike or go camping, where we're naturally in those environments where we can be more active, and we have to be.
And Ty, did your research cover the optimal length and type of vacation?
A week to 2 weeks is sort of the sweet spot for if you're looking at all the behaviours, and that was seen across a few types of vacations. So we looked at, you know, social vacations where people might go see family or go to an event, and then we also looked at like rest and relaxation and outdoor vacations, and then non-leisure, so where people were taking time off to do renovations or things. So the best, I guess the best, most favourable outcomes were those outdoor leisure activities where people are going camping, going out into nature, which kind of makes sense. If you're out, you don't have the conveniences of your car or the supermarket down the road, you're going to be more active. But the encouraging thing is the rest was the next best holiday type. So people who are intending to take a break and being intentional, it seemed to be quite beneficial for how they move.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong. I'm speaking with Ty Ferguson, Research Fellow in the Alliance for Research in Exercise, Nutrition and Activity Research Centre at the University of South Australia, and Stacey Parker, Associate Professor in the School of Psychology at the University of Queensland. Stacey, we were referencing what to do before our holiday to lessen the benefit of a holiday fading too quickly. Do you want to go through that list with the critical elements for us?
Yeah, so I think the main things would be to make sure that you've sort of cleared the decks as much as you can, so you won't have work spilling out over into the vacation, or you won't have things that you're going to ruminate on that are going to sort of mentally stay with you as well. Obviously, that's sometimes easier said than done for some people in some jobs. And for some of us, you know, there's some research that suggests people who are a bit more perfectionistic sometimes struggle with this a bit more. It's a bit harder for them to let go over that time. But as much as you can, if you can sort of clear the decks, turn the out of office on, maybe take the app off your phone, so you give yourself the best chance to really psychologically detach from work over the vacation.
Stacey, when it comes to writing an out-of-office reply for emails, what should we include to help us switch off?
I think that it's good just to be clear about when you'll be back and when you can respond. Different people have lots of different preferences about this, and I think let's just all be kind to each other and do what's right for us. I know some people say something to the effect of, if it's urgent, re-email me after the date that I've returned, to try to not have a huge deluge of stuff to sort through on their return. For me personally, I just keep it really factual, but I do this thing where I actually put it on a day early and a day later so that I have these buffer days, the day before I go on the vacation and the day I return. If something really urgent came in on that last day, of course I'd respond to it, but things that are not urgent, they just know that I'll get back to it when I return.
So on LinkedIn, we asked, what are your tips for resting and recovering over a holiday break? And we got some fantastic responses. Please do follow me on LinkedIn to join our vibrant and supportive community as well. And here's what some of you said. So Anna said, I like to get away into the country with family. Green fields and fresh air do it for me. And Lillian writes, make getting outdoors a priority and open a book instead of a laptop. Ty, what do we know about getting outdoors in terms of recovery on a holiday?
Yeah, I mean, they've got the right idea, and it really fits with the research we did, that the sort of best, in quotation marks, the best holiday was getting outdoors. It's really great for people changing their routine and how they use their time in more active ways. And it simplifies things as well. If we're not attached to the internet, to our devices, it's much easier to switch off. There's also something called soft fascination, where you're out in nature, you can explore things, but it's not too intense, that you can have moments to reflect and sort of process some of your thoughts. It's a really nice restorative benefit for our mental health to be sort of in those states.
Did you really say soft fascination, Ty?
Yes, I did.
I love that.
What an interesting word. A couple of words, yeah.
I love it. Let's adopt it. Now, more of you had ideas on how to maximise your recovery on your holiday break. So here's a few more. So Megan said, what helps me is a digital / social media break and not being on the phone as much during the year. Tom says, to me, switching off works only when I set real boundaries. So no work apps, no just checking in quotation marks. I let the week unfold naturally and protect slow mornings. And that's what genuinely recharges me. And Manisha writes, this holiday season, I'm planning a mental reset, stepping away from emails and social media to create space for myself. I'm using that time to finally pursue something I've been aspiring to learn for a long time, painting. Oh, Stacey.
Oh, I love them. They're fantastic. This is exactly what we're hoping to hear and see people doing. One, creating space. You know, creating time and space to be able to do some recovery and engage in other interesting and meaningful things. And I love also that there's a bit of goal setting, that there's a bit of intention around it, which is good. It's important. And also the, you know, something that you've really been wanting to do, some kind of creative pursuit like painting, that's great. Because often in the day to day and the week to week, during the rest of the year, we don't really have the time or space to get going on something like that. So it's the perfect time to try something like that out, and then maybe you'll be a bit in a bit better sort of situation or setup to maybe continue that on into the new year.
Ty, what are your tips for a digital detox during your break?
Something I really like doing, my wife and I have done it before, where we get the other one to change our work passwords and keep it away from us so we can't actually engage without it making it difficult. And things that Stacey said, where you're deleting the apps, or you know, maybe you're logging out and not following those well-worn paths that we take with our digital devices.
Stacey, what can we do when we come back to make the glow last longer?
Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that lovely boost from the vacation stay with us? I think we can't expect what happened over the vacation to sort of last in the long term if we don't sort of keep it up. So a vacation is one recovery setting, that's what we call it. But there's lots of other recovery settings like your evenings and weekends and also breaks during the workday. So maybe in the new year, we can think about how we can better use those other recovery settings more regularly throughout the year.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Stacey.
Thank you, Lisa. Lovely as always.
Thank you, Ty.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Stacey Parker is an associate professor in the School of Psychology at the University of Queensland. And Ty Ferguson is a research fellow in the Alliance for Research in Exercise, Nutrition and Activity Research Centre at the University of South Australia. Up next in Try This, some more practical tips to help you recover during your break from a sports scientist. On ABC Radio National's This Working Life, it's time for Try This, where we give you tips and tricks to help make your work and life better. And we're looking at how to maximise your chances of recovery during your holiday break. Greg Stark is the Director of Workplace Wellbeing Outfit Better Being, and he also has a background in high-performance coaching and recovery with athletes. Greg, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So you have a system for recovery. It uses points. So this is so good for all of us A-types. Tell us about it.
We've got a number of different activities that people can participate in that you get different amount of points. So you can get up to 50 points for certain activities, such as swimming or yoga, everyone's favourite one is the power nap, right through to, you know, 20 and 30 points for catching up with friends, taking time to read. And the point system works on the basis of how much evidence there is to support these activities from both a physical and psychological perspective.
There are four categories with bunches of these activities in each one. So you've got circulate, move, relax, and repair. How did you come to these four categories?
What we like about this model is it allowing people the option to choose what works for them. So for some people, going to a yoga class is a great way to move their bodies where they feel recovered and replenished and restored. But for other people, that could be their worst nightmare and cause more angst and stress for them. So again, we wanted to break things down and give people different ways of how they can recover. So again, the circulate is about how do we stimulate blood flow throughout the body. So we have ice baths, contrast showers, sauna, steam, swimming, those types of activities can help with that. Movement is again light exercise, so not trying to put too much intense exercise into the body. Different activities that we can do there, from walking to cycling to stretching to yoga. Repair is again a bit more of that passive type of recovery, but still an activity that you're doing. So as I said, that could be as simple as a power nap, foam rolling, massage, compression, all those things can help in that physical tissue repair. And then relaxing. So again, how are we switching off that mind and to really switch out of that flight or fight mode? So things such as meditation, reading, relaxing with friends and family.
Greg, in terms of the rules, do we have to get a certain amount of points in each of those categories, or could I just prefer a category and stick to that one?
As a general rule, we try to encourage people to get 100 points of recovery in the week. But I think a real important thing to think about here is really check in with yourself. Think about how you are feeling, and there's going to be periods of time when you're going to need more recovery, other times where you might not need as much. Really focus on how you can boost those points. And I think this break over the festive period is a great time to try and get as many of these points as possible and really think about those activities, whether it's going down to the beach and swimming or getting out for a walk or being really intentful in our social catch-ups and not feeling like we're just going 100 miles an hour in our personal lives as well.
So you mentioned trying to get around 100 points per week. How could we adapt this for a holiday?
Some of the things that I love doing is going away on holidays and going to the beach every day and getting into the water. That's 50 points right there. Going for a walk, you know, with the family, again, that's 30 points. I don't think we have to overcomplicate these things, but just to really be conscious and mindful of the things that help to fill us up. So think about the activities that make you feel good and try and do as much of that as possible over the break.
Greg, do you have a leaderboard, and what do I win?
You sound like my son. Everything's a competition. We can't even walk to the shops without him wanting to beat.
Where's the trophy?
And be number one. Yeah, winning will be you turning up feeling the best you can be. That's the real victory when it comes to recovery, is minimizing, you know, periods of being sick and unwell. Often when we've been so busy, as soon as we stop, that's when our bodies crash. So doing activities like this can help to stimulate that immune system so that we're stronger that way, and mentally to feel like we're replenished and recharged. You know, thinking of it as an off season, if you're an athlete, to come back fresh, ready to go for a new year.
Before you go, what's your top tip for people to try over the holiday break to help them feel refreshed when they come back to work?
I've probably got two tips. First one is find what works for you to really help you recover. And again, don't just do things for the sake of it. Think about things that help you to fill your cup and fill your levels of energy. And the second one is to be really present in your social connections. We know that loneliness is a huge epidemic from a health perspective that we're facing. And this time of year, those things can be reinforced. But we can also feel lonely in a room full of people. So be really conscious in your social connections, really get to engage in conversations and be curious about what's going on in other people's lives and feel really connected at this time of year, I think is probably my number one thing that I'm trying to do, and I hope others can do the same.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you, Lisa.
Greg Stark there, Director of Better Being. And if you'd like a copy of Greg's resources for recovery, email us at thisworkinglife@abc.net.au and we'll send it to you. Thanks for listening to ABC Radio National's This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Brendan O'Neill on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Nar, Melbourne. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our podcast and share it with a colleague or a friend. You can do that on the ABC Listen app or anywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm Lisa Leong. Until next time, work it like a charm.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.